SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Hour number two underway now. Kevin, can you call Bet365 for me and say, why did you void my two RBI bets for the Dodgers yesterday? Because I was liking it, kind of getting my money back. But now that Mookie Betts in the eighth inning doubled in the gap with bases loaded to cash in, which means if you had three guys and you won one, you won money instead of got your money back. But beggars can't be choosers. Looks like we're going to cash this SGP for the Dodgers. Now a 6-1 lead over the Guardians. Second and third, it looks like one out here with Will Smith at the plate. Yankees now 3-1 because why? Gleyber Torres hit a 2-run home run. Bottom of the third inning here. 1-0 lead here. Rays over the Rockies. So some things we're cheering on. Now we're going to find out where JP is going today, which I think I already guessed it where he's going today. The Oakland Athletics? Come on, man. Geloff, Roker? I mean, where are we going today, JP? What's your guess, Kevin, on where he's going today?
Tim Anderson home run.
Ooh. Going Zach Geloff. It's my guy. JP, where are you going today?
I'm sticking with the theme over here. I'm doing the 2+ RBI market. Let's take Elvis Andrus for 2+.
Whoa. Elvis. How about that? All right. Wow. What's that pay? Any idea, JP? What are you hunting on that one? 10-1?
It's 6-1 right now on FanDuel. I think you can get it 7-1 other places.
Yeah, which means it's 9-1. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'll give you 9-1 based on what we usually know about the RBI prop. So there you go. Hey! Trying to cash in those tickets here.
Donnie, can you name that play for him? You name your SGPs. Elvis Andrus 2+ RBIs, what would you name that?
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. There you go. Just hunting down to try to get RBIs. Okay. Yep, there you go.
Perfect. Yeah. Oh man, this guy is amazing.
Look, no script needed, man. Just let it rip. Just let it rip at that point here. So, by the way, games tonight in the NFL. Eagles game?
Yes.
I mean, are we interested in any of these options? Because we talked about it today on the early line. 4.5s in both games. Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Indy, and Philadelphia. I'm actually, again, Dodgers Eagles fan. No. I actually want to see Anthony Richardson. I want to see if we get the, because I haven't seen him yet. Didn't watch any preseason action with clips that showed him for more than throwing a pass. I just want to see if everybody says what's true. Man, he is a giant, and he can move with a rocket arm. Saw him in Florida, yes. I want to see him tonight in the pros.
Yeah, I... why is he playing this week and didn't play last week? I'm confused. I don't understand what he played week one. I don't understand what Indy's doing. I'm telling you, man, it might not take much convincing for you to tell me that Jim Irsay is like setting the depth chart, is telling people who plays in which preseason. He might call Steichen and be like, listen, I need Jonathan Taylor to play actually into tonight's game so we can showcase him to a couple teams.
Yes, and they would do it. Like that's, I'm telling you right now, if you ever are lucky enough and also good enough to get a job in the NFL as a general manager, you hope you go to a team where the owner's just cool. Like, just wants to hear you out and say, look, why are you making this decision? You explain it. He goes, you're my football guy, man. I trust you on that. Or is it one of those where you are putting in all this hard work? You are setting the depth chart. You are setting everything in motion and building your team up to a certain way. And like an 8 o'clock a.m. call from your owner that goes, yeah, I want to see Richardson. I thought about it last night myself. I want Richardson there game one. You're like... Well, you pay me. Fantastic. We'll get it going. And everybody in the room, just as soon as you hang up the phone, is like, all right, guys, new way. Well, we were going to bring Anthony Richardson along slow, had the perfect game plan, but the boss says they want him snap one, game one. So let's get on it here. It really feels like that's going on in Indy.
Yeah, but like I said, they were clearing the way for him to be the starter. He started that game against Buffalo. So it could be a situation where... Because the one thing is, I don't think that Jim Irsay loved Anthony Richardson. I mean, obviously, he liked him enough, because I'm sure he had a say in them drafting him. But, you know, he was like, oh, man, I love the Alabama kid. It'd be great if he fell to us.
Yeah.
Remember? He said that with Bryce Young? He was, like, coming out. He's like, man, I'd love to be able to draft Bryce. He said something along those lines, like a maniac.
By the way, Mammoth, hashtag SG Moneyline, Mammoth Hop says, can confirm those con rumors, DRS. I was there. Now, what rumors?
Did you spell it
K-H-A-N? Is that the ticket sales? Yes.
If Mammoth Hops is a Cornette WWE guy, I might have to block him on SG Money.
He says I was there, but what would he be there? Like, what's he there?
Well, I mean, I think it's he's just messing around in that he was there. But then again, these people who believe those things actually think they were there for it. So, I mean,
that's
going
to be great. By the way, that is going to be a great podcast to listen to, because the best part about it is if it's a big event and it goes well, there's always going to be like this still like, oh man. One of the worst things I've ever seen out there. They've embarrassed themselves on a big stage. Gave wrestling a bad name. Because if you're either on one side or the other, you never are going to give credit to the other side. Like, I remember, 2 years ago now, like, the WWE faithful had a tough night when CM Punk came back and sat in the ring there, and the place went wild. There wasn't really, because people saying, like, wrestling is officially back, like, that's like a slap in the face to the other faction. Like, what do you mean it's back? We've always been here. We're always top. Yeah. Like, no. It's back. No. I get a kick out of the, forget about what happens in the ring, the rivalry between fans, which Kevin knows me. I'm not the biggest wrestling fan now, but I do tune in and get a little bit of excitement out of it. I'm telling you right now, like, wait a second. I just got a thought process. Could this actually be happening on the backside, Kevin? The reason why Wembley is going to be sold out is we are going to have an invasion of WWE in the middle of this thing.
Do you know? There's a rumor of a WWE legend potentially appearing in AEW sooner than later.
Did you see him?
No.
Hogan? Man.
Let me talk.
That guy? This guy?
I can't. We'll go to.
Let me tell you something.
Give you the book.
Hogan walks out and rips off his shirt, and it says AEW underneath. You got me for life, people. Tony Khan, you got me for life. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick update, Major League Baseball. Right off the top, the Boston Red Sox with a 1-0 lead here over the Houston Astros. The Rays 1-0 over the Rockies. The Yankees 3-1 over the Nationals. And they keep trying to take this game down here for the Los Angeles Dodgers. That game is in the top of the eighth inning. The bottom of the eighth inning. 6-1 Dodgers. So we have a couple games in action today. And again, 3:10 p.m., the Dodgers and the Guardians get back at it again because last night was a suspended game. Played a little bit earlier today. Then the regular game will be played at 3:10. College football week 0 this week. People are excited about it. Some people are a little bit more excited than others about it, but I wanted to run my wagers by OK Dub here to see what he thinks about it. Now, this is coming from betting earlier in the week where we didn't have a ton of options here because you know what you're looking for right away. Sam Hartman, Caleb Williams props here, and they do have those props up. But I actually went with a team total. In the Navy Notre Dame game, 49.5. I went Notre Dame team total over 34.5 points, which means they have to get to 35. Granted, I'm not studying a ton on this, but when I hear Sam Hartman opening day with Notre Dame, it's very important that he gets off to a good start. And A and B combined, yes, he is going to be a Heisman candidate. Standalone game to open up the season. We're handing the football off all over the place. Are we running the clock out up 10 points in the fourth quarter with Notre Dame? No, we're not. We're scoring points here. So I think I'm going to go over. Actually, I did go over 34.5. And also, not just because of Sam Hartman, Navy is going to have the triple option still as their main attack. But rumors coming out of Navy is what, Kevin? We're going to open up the passing game a little bit more. Maybe we don't throw 25 times or even 20 times, but we're not going to throw 2 times, which means big plays both ways, sacks, interceptions, and passes caught, which means the clock is going to stop on incomplete passes as well, as opposed to an 8.5-minute drive by Navy that ends up with 3 points and kills an entire quarter. So that first game here, I'm going Notre Dame team total over 35.5. I think they need to have a big day. Come on, they're going to out-athlete Navy. Stop it. Hartman should be all over the place in this game.
So it's really interesting because these teams meet last season and it was a 35-32 final Notre Dame's direction. Very close game, way more, you know, way high scoring than you would imagine. My worry is Notre Dame going up against an academy school. It's not about it's less to do with Notre Dame, and it's more to do with these academy schools in this spot, Donnie. They are just incredible at finding a way to cover big spreads. But that's why you're not betting a spread, right? You know, if this game's going to get big and explosive, then you've got not much to worry about. And I think that angle makes a lot of sense. With that, I am curious what the MO from Notre Dame is going to be, because you do have Sam Hartman as the best quarterback to come through those doors in some time. I mean, expectation-wise, I mean, I'm thinking Brady Quinn, quite frankly. Like, I mean, like, expectations for a Notre Dame quarterback, Donnie, like on Sam Hartman, most since Brady Quinn? I don't think Ian Book had expectations like that, you know?
So, no, because you're getting a bona fide, like, older upperclassman that went to Wake Forest and was knocking the doors off of teams.
Right,
yeah, you're expecting big things.
So, with that, you would think that they can let him rip, but this is a football team that does have a much better running back room, I would say, than its pass-catching room, having lost Michael Mayer. But I do agree that this should be a team that is willing to let him throw the ball. I would not be. I'm worried by laying that 20.5. The Notre Dame team total. I may even be a little interested in that Navy team total. Although Notre Dame having all that time to prepare, because it's hard when you have to play an academy school, right, Donnie? When you have to play them kind of on a week-to-week basis.
Correct.
But this is the game that ND has been preparing for the whole time. And they very well could stymie them, you know, in this spot, in this instance.
Yes, you want, that's why if you have a Naval Academy or Air Force or Army back in the day, right, you want them on a bye week to get ready for those principals. You know, you have an extra couple days to put that in, but also they have the whole offseason. But we're led to believe that there are going to be a lot more wrinkles to that Navy offense than we've seen under Niumatalolo over the past 15 or so years. Game number two for me, San Jose State, USC. 30.5 point spread for USC, a total of 66.5. You know where I went in this game? Guess where I went in this game? And again, I didn't take a player prop. That has nothing to do with the player.
Well, again, I told you before we got going, I got an idea what you bet, because I thought that you were going to be on a player prop. I didn't know they weren't available when you got involved, but it has to be something geared towards the over in this game, something involving Caleb Williams going off.
It is involved in an over, but nothing to do with USC or a combined over. I'm taking San Jose's team total over. It was seven. I don't see what I didn't bring it up yet. It was 17.5 Tuesday. I want to say Tuesday. Yeah. It was 17.5 Tuesday plus 105 or plus 104 on FanDuel. And he said, "Well, why wouldn't you just go with USC? Like they're going to run this team up the flagpole." And I get it. That's why it's 66.5. I didn't want to lay the 30.5, and I didn't want to take the 30.5. But just some simple research on San Jose State. Lockhart is the quarterback. Excuse me, not Lockhart. Lockhart's the wide receiver. Cordero is the quarterback. Mountain West, preseason, first team, it's him. So, again, I've never seen the kid play, but he's a senior, and he's picked first team. That means he's got to have something of, you know, hey, look, I'm a decent player here. And also, Justin Lockhart, the starting wide receiver, who's a junior, first team voted before the season started, wide receiver in the Mountain West. So if I have a legitimate quarterback and an option that should be legitimate, they can get smoked, but they can also get beat 52-21, and you cash that ticket. That's the way I thought about it. I said, you know what? I'm going that route.
I think it's understandable because the USC defense was abysmal. And you know this, DRS. Alex Grinch has been hanging on for dear life, it feels like. And somehow, Lincoln Riley leaving OU to go to USC saved him and kept job security. And what you have on your hands in... What you have on your hands in Alex Grinch is a guy that last year was able to have USC be the best turnover team in college football. Pair that with the ball security of Caleb Williams, and their turnover margin was absolutely incredible. The problem is it feels absolutely impossible for them to replicate that. And if that defense isn't turning over teams at a high rate, I mean, it's a bad defense. It's not that it's bad for a contender. It's not that it's bad for a Power 5. I mean, last year their defense was one of the worst in college football. If this team loses their ability to turn teams over, it could be a long season, DRS, relative to expectations for USC.
Yes, it could. So there we go. Week zero kicking off this weekend. First game, 2:30 afternoon on Saturday. The boys on the college. What? I can't get these shows are the names. College Football Today and Pro Football
yes.
Today.
Yes.
There we go. All right.
Yes.
Forgot.
You're on it. Wait. Have you? Oh, yeah. I mean, eventually some announcements will all kind of trickle down. But we're live. We're live on Saturday, 9 to 12. And again, we're going to go over the seven games, but. What we're going to also do for people, and I know that people are going to be excited about this, you're going to get our national championship picks, our college football playoff predictions, our Heisman picks. I told everybody I'm on Carson Beck already. There's a couple of others that I've made wagers on in that Heisman market. We'll go over those. Favorite win totals. Lisi and Ben, of course, have both been going through the markets. I'm sure those that listen to Football Full Circle have heard those breakdowns. So we're all going to be able to go through not just the seven games of week zero, but really setting you up for the full season.
There you go. Get started this weekend. Feels like it was so long ago that we wrapped up a national championship in college football and also the Super Bowl. And here we are on the cusp of college football season. Tomorrow, a true Football Friday here on the networks. And then just about a week and a half away, it feels like the NFL will get rocking and rolling. And when we could blink, it's going to be Super Bowl Sunday out there in Las Vegas. Dodgers 6-1 right now. Close them out, boys. Cash in some tickets. I got a hot topic I want to talk about next. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And eventually they said, yeah.
Rocking and rolling, hour number two, the Dodgers. 6-1, top of the ninth inning, looking to close out the Guardians and our first same-game parlay winner of the day. Yankees throw up 3-1 in the fifth inning, looking for a Volpe RBI in that game. Bottom of the fourth inning, the Rays extend their lead to 2-0 here, but low and low, nothing yet on the horizon, cheering that one on. End of the first inning, the Red Sox a 1-0 lead over the Astros. That game's big, man. That game is big for basically the wild card positioning. The Red Sox want to climb back into it. Also, what the Astros are trying to do, whether they'll be a wild card, or if they are going to make it into the AL West and say, we are the champs, and away we go, and better seating there in the playoffs. Now, I want to ask you this question. I don't know if you were watching or paying attention, because I got a kick out of it. He maybe made JP pull clips yesterday of what was taking place between Ryan Clark and Tua Tagovailoa, because I got a kick out of this stuff, too. Now, today, Ryan Clark came out in a home studio setup, KW. Get that? Filmed it at home, you know, put out word. He could do that, didn't have to drive in. He gets on there and says, basically, look, man, I made a mistake. Took a joke too far. Just apologize, this and that. Which, again, is the right thing to technically do. But having said that, like, in our business, the last thing ESPN wants is one of their commentators getting into it with a player and a team in the NFL. So I figure that, I don't know if that apology was coming from him, unless it was told, like, hey, look, I don't know if you want to or not, but here's what we need from you here. Because it's never a good look when you're open-air feuding, like, and players going like, yeah, when he comes down here, he's going to catch that smoke. Like, all right, well, I'm going to be down there to cover a game, and three or four guys out of the locker room come up, and it's like, oh, you want to square up right now? And it's never a good look. But I got a kick out of what he said. Basically, out of shape, you got to be kidding me with this guy. And Tua comes back and goes, you know, I'm Samoan. Like, we scrap, and we're ready to go. And the next day, Ryan Clark's like, I apologize.
I mean, do you think he was worried that Tua was going to beat him up? Is that was the...
No, but you would have liked the angle. My angle was, look, I know wrestling in the past. And anytime anybody says anything, Kevin, about who are the toughest wrestlers in the history of the sport, it's always Samoans. Like, walk into a bar with a Samoan wrestler, somebody says, hey, wrestling is fake, they clear the bar out themselves and say, can we have some more? Who else wants a piece of it? So I got a kick out of that. Exactly. So I was saying, basically, that Once he said, like, you know, I'm Samoan, and, like, I got a lot of fans, like, you don't disrespect the island like that. Ryan Clark's like, you know what? I'm not disrespecting anybody. I apologize.
Well, Ryan Clark, though, does, like, MMA content with Daniel Cormier, so I wonder if he knows a thing or two. Like, maybe that'd be a good fight.
Mm.
Maybe better than Zuckerberg and whatever, Musk, you know? So maybe that would be more entertaining. But did you actually bet the Dolphins win the Super Bowl because Tyreek
Hill
had two as
back? I feel like I want to now. Yes, like I feel like, because I've been saying all along, just put the crystal ball out there that Tua plays 17 games. Like, I like the Dolphins a lot, and I would love to bet their price. But I know how that turns out, going like, Dan, they're 6-0, Kevin, and Tua just got a concussion, and up it goes in flames. Like, I figure that's probably what might happen, so I don't want to put money on it. But I just felt like that's sometimes what the locker room and a player needs to invigorate. Like, this guy is joking on our quarterback right now, who's trying to fight through and come back. We see how hard he's working, and this guy's like, hey, man, you know, clown's not working out, and, you know, this and that. Like, and then the Tyreek Hill is like, yeah, we got smoke for you, so let's go. I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to bet this.
So, I want to, you're the perfect person to talk to about this, though, because for Miami, there's one injury everyone is so worried about, and it's the Tua injury. And I get it. He's the quarterback, and he feels that at a moment's notice, things could go wrong. But there's a current injury that I think we keep forgetting, and it's not the Jalen Ramsey one. You're an Eagles fan. So the last 4 or 5 years, when Lane Johnson is there versus when Lane Johnson is not there, I might start voting this guy for MVP. But you know this very well. The difference in the Eagles when Lane Johnson is available is stunning. Well, the Dolphins have a similar situation on their hands with Terron Armstead, who's been one of the best tackles in football for some time. Many, many years he's played with the New Orleans Saints. Last year, Armstead played, I think it was 12 games, and in the games with him, they were a top five offense, and the games without him, they were closer to the bottom 10. And you know who's already dealing with injuries and questionable for week one? And the guy that has played 10 or less games in more than half of his last 7 seasons? Terron Armstead.
Yes.
I think Miami has injury concerns that go just beyond Tua Tagovailoa. And when you're trying to parse through that AFC, which is a difficult thing to do because there's so much talent in the conference, I look at the Miami situation as one that not only I want to stay away from, but that's not going to be a team I am backing, and I might consider fading. A minus 115 to miss the postseason number. I saw just the other day I was contemplating there. That win total, 9.5. Miami has a lot of talent, but it looks like it might be right people, wrong time for Miami. I don't know if they're going to get the breaks to go there direction.
No love for Skylar Thompson is what you're saying here. Like, I don't miss a beat. You lose Tua there. You go right to Skylar, and away you go here. If something just came up here. Steven Strasburg for the Washington Nationals is retiring. Now, you might say that's probably right. He's had so many problems with injuries.
Shame.
But do you know what I'm intrigued by right now? You took a look at guys like Miguel Cabrera. Just a borderline hanging on Major League Baseball player. If he wasn't a legend, he wouldn't even be on the Tigers at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Albert Pujols, they, for like the final 3 years of his contract, probably putting like, you know, true serum. Say, hey, look, man, let me just sit you down here. You know you can't play anymore. Why don't you just retire now? I'm not retiring. You owe me $30 million a year for 3 more years. I don't care if I can't walk. I'm going to finish this contract out because I signed that it's guaranteed money as long as I don't quit. So you say to yourself, okay, I see where you're going here. Steven Strasburg is retiring. Fourth year of a 7-year, $245 million contract. So he is leaving years 5, 6, and 7 out there. So if I go 245 divided by 7, $35 million a year for 2024, 2025, and 2026. That's over $100 million.
Yeah. Wow. That's such a shame, too, because Steven Strasburg is the guy that was supposed to take Major League Baseball by storm, number one overall pick, and he did. I think sometimes that's what's so upsetting with injuries like that, is when a player, you know, he's not a bust, Steven Strasburg, right? A World Series champion. Steven Strasburg. He was everything people said he was going to be, but he just couldn't stay consistently healthy. But look, he was healthy enough, DRS, for a couple of seasons of, you know, Cy Young level pitching, and again to be a huge part of a Washington Nationals World Series run. So that's a shame. I feel like there's a chance the Nationals retire his number, which I'm sure you'd hate. That's neither here nor there. But to leave that kind of money on the table, I mean, it goes to show the struggles that clearly this guy is going through. And it's not that easy to just get back out there. It's draining, man. Especially when you're a guy like that and you know how good you are and you just can't piece it all together because of health.
By the way, I'm glad you brought up retiring numbers here because I can't stand them. They never should be there. They should be, you know, hey, look, put a little patch on the jersey. Like if somebody's going to wear number 2 for the Yankees, you put the little 2 insignia on there knowing, hey, that was Derek Jeter's uniform. What an honor it is to wear it for myself. That's why, by the way, the Mets, horrible season. Right out of the Daniel Snyder playbook, they're going to retire Strawberry and also Doc Gooden. Ridiculous.
This year.
Well, I don't know what you, but that was the announcement today. They're going to be retired. Well, it's probably not this year, probably early next year, I would assume.
Yeah.
I could say if an organization, Kevin, we're going to retire one number. Like, that's it. Like, okay, Babe Ruth for the Yankees. And if it comes along that somebody's better than Babe Ruth, you take Babe Ruth's number 3 off the wall, you put it back in play, and you retire number 2 in Derek Jeter. So he's the guy. I don't understand multiple, because again, these franchises technically are new, Kevin, under 100 years. Well, that's a long time. Well, we expect them to be around for 500-600 years. There's no numbers that are going to be left. Like, no, like, hey, the Yankees, the lowest number there is 42. Who wants it?
No, look, there, I have to admit, so I understand why we retire numbers kind of thing, but I think inarguably the cooler thing is what the Dallas Cowboys do or what happens at a place like Real Madrid or Barcelona. Like, to wear the number 7 for Real Madrid is a really big deal. Cristiano Ronaldo did it, and then they recently gave it along, you know, to Vinicius Jr., something people will more relate with. Number 88 for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the fact,
yes.
Like, and it's funny because the NFL is a little more risk with it, right? Like, they gave CeeDee Lamb 88 right away, but they knew, and he's earned wearing 88. Dez Bryant, Michael Irvin, obviously. Again, that's all well known there. Like, imagine if the Yankees gave Volpe 2. That would mean a heck of a lot more. They'd be like, oh my goodness, man. Like, they gave him number 2. You know, like, that would be a cool thing. And I look, having a Yankees Hall of Fame with, you know, a million people in it anyway, it's not like you can't honor those people. I don't mind retiring numbers, though. Again, if the Yankees say, look, we don't want anybody to ever wear number 2. What I don't understand, and when I tapped out on fighting you with this because I realized I lost the argument, is when the most historic franchise in arguably all of American sports decided to retire Paul O'Neill's number. That's not meant to be a slight towards Paul O'Neill, but you think Paul O'Neill belongs next to Mariano Rivera, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig? What are we even talking about here? It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace what they've turned that thing into. The Yankees are going to legitimately run out of numbers.
It certainly is so. But I just look at it, and again, it's a great honor, and there are icons of the sport. But again, it's the whole NFL. The NFL Hall of Fame, by the way, is doing, I think, their Veterans Committee voting. There's a guy came up, I never heard of the guy before. He's going to get in the Hall of Fame. I never heard of I love the NFL. I never heard of the guy before who's getting into the Hall of Fame. But when I understood, Kevin, the NFL Hall of Fame was just a business outside of the NFL where they have to put multiple people in every year so you keep coming back, that's when I realized it was a sham. So now I'm okay with it. Want to make money? So be it. We'll be right back. Thursday edition, Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right up here. Let's go. Man, time flies. It really does. By the way, phone lines are open, 844-843-6879. You know who's up on the line with us, K-Dub? It's our good friend Moose. He's here on a Thursday to let it rip. What's up, Moose?
Hey, guys. How you doing, K-Dub? Thank God you're back, man. DRS was off the hook yesterday. It was pretty darn wild. It was tremendous. And I do have
That's
to say, I'm going to say this. You guys have to be one of the best sports shows across the nation.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Even though that's coming from the biggest brown noser from my friend up north, you know, and you know what? I'd like to take him out for a happy meal and maybe take him out to the Napoleon Dynamite movie. But anyway, it's so freaking hot. I was in the Racino yesterday. My bets. I got my lunch in front of me. I'm watching a game. And the gentleman sits down next to me. His name is Debo. D-E-B-O. And he's showing me his favorite sports app on his phone. I'm like, Debo, that ain't squat. I said, let me show you the number one sports app on the phone. He goes, show it to me. So I pull it up. He goes, man. I'm like, these guys do this? I said, there's two good shows. There's the early line and there's the money line. I said, you could talk to K-Dub and you could talk to DRS. He goes, what? They'll talk to you? I said, let me prove it to you. So I called in live. That's what I was talking to you yesterday, Johnny. And I'm like, hey, Debo, his DRS, and not only that, he goes, they're going to, he's like, we have to wait. I'm like, no, we don't have to wait because they have the number one producer, then he gets you through.
Yep.
And what does Debo do? I introduce Debo to DRS, so he's like, I'm hooked, I'm calling. So, as always, great show, and we got some great games on. It's going to be a good night. So let me just end it with this. How do you think the Angels management feel now with damaged goods? Man, did that hurt.
Yeah, they feel like this. They get nothing out of that, K-Dub. They get nothing out there. By the way, getting nothing is the Astros today. 5-0 Red Sox here.
Whoa!
Heating up. Rockies take a 3-2 lead over the Rays.
Whoa!
Now look at that. So let's just see what we got here today. Astros are losing. Red Sox are winning, so it cancels it out. But the Yankees picking up another win. Maybe the Rays lose. 1,000-1 on the Yanks to win it all. I mean, this could be the start that we've been waiting for. Almost like taking the Yankees when they have no runs in the fifth inning to go over 1.5 runs. It's a little bit using that in the completeness of the season.
What's the story now, DRS, though? I mean, are the Padres out of it? Or do you still... No, they're done? No, don't
The best
that.
Part, like, every time I, like, oh, they won last night, they somehow lose in the race. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's not... Like, they could win 10 in a row, be six games back, and find themselves 8 games back. That's what it feels like I'm watching now. Because every day I try to get that little, like, oh, they won, they beat the Marlins. It just doesn't seem to be moving for them right now. But again, you still have a whole month to go. They're going to have dominant starting pitching. But again, you had it all year and it didn't work. So I don't know what the difference for that working out now technically is going to be.
Yeah, it was one of those things. When you initially made the bet, I just wasn't looking into it much. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I'm not making the bet, but okay, cool. And then as it kind of went along, like, man, that's a great bet by DRS. You know, I felt like personally the moment passed me by. But man, they're not that far back. They can get on a heater and... That everybody around them lost, it felt like, on a regular basis. And they just couldn't make it happen. It was just it was frustrating for me, and I didn't even have the bet. So I can only imagine for yourself how that felt with the play now.
Yeah, because when I took it, I was like, oh, man, it's like a great number, like 3.5 games back. And then it just turned into, like, they stink the next 2 weeks. Now they're 6.5, 7 back, and you're not expecting much. So it's one of those that you just filed away at that point. So now basically I'm rooting for the Astros, you know, outside of just cheering on the Phillies at this point as a World Series. I have the Astros to win the World Series. I have the Astros to win the American League and all that stuff. Just
stop buying ammunition. You had both.
Yes, I got both of them now. Ooh. What I was doing was using the 50% and the 25% boost where it's like, okay, do I really want to have like a 4-1 price to win the AL? But no, you take 50% boost up, man. That hammers that up to a legitimate number where you don't even have to win the World Series. You just have to make the World Series, and you get a pretty good ticket there.
Right. Yeah, no, it's absolutely. Yeah, all right. I respect it. I like the move.
And Also, taking a look here, the FanDuel Sportsbook. Let me just bring this up here. Let me just take a look here. Kay Adams. Every once in a while, she'll pop up with her profit boost, but it's really not a day-to-day one. The last couple profit boosts have been like season-long, which I've been hitting. Now, I didn't bet this one yet, but it's the passing props market. So I want to assume, like, let me go to passing props here on FanDuel. Let's see, season specials, passing props. So let me just click a button here just to see if it makes some sense. Aaron Rodgers touchdown passes, or excuse me, Aaron Rodgers total yards, 3,800. Doesn't look like that one pops up. Was it limited? What was the thing here? Hold on. I'll read this directly to the people out here. Now it's not showing up for me, but there is a K Adams boost for 25%. I'm trying to read this here. Baseball one today. Okay. I can't find it now at this point. But what I wanted to do was go over and see, like, which way we would take this. It just came up today, and I actually activated it, but now I don't see it here for some reason.
Well, because I remember the last one was for what? A team to win 10 games.
Oh, there we go.
You took the Saints.
Yes, right? And I also took, by the way, you were out. I took Daniel Jones over 17.5 touchdown passes, and I boosted it. He's getting 18 easy.
Yeah, but Donnie, I'm so annoyed that you did that. I'm so annoyed that you did that. Because why didn't you do it with Pickett or one of the other low guys? Why did you do it on a guy that you don't think is very good?
Because, hear me out on this. Benchability is why I went with him. I am looking at Kenny Pickett. I think Kenny Pickett does a good job and will break that. But when I look at the Steelers, who technically, like Mike Tomlin, he doesn't care who his quarterback is. He doesn't care who's on his defense. Who's going to put him in the best chance to win football games? And if he actually thinks Mitchell Trubisky would give him a boost, he would play him. Now, on the New York, because I explained this the entire way on the Giants, $40-plus million means, Kevin, if he throws one touchdown pass through 17 games, he will play all 17 games. Because you know what that means? Dable and also Schoen will be fired at the end of the season. They have to make this work. Unless he breaks his leg or loses it, he will play every single game. He's going to get 18 touchdown passes.
Look, I want to make this point. I don't want to even talk about, this bet loses with injury, because what am I going to I would obviously never criticize that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be ridiculous. But this guy last year started 16 games. He didn't play week 17, which you can always, that happens, right? Obviously, you don't think this is going to come down to the final game anyway. And he didn't get there. And this team made the playoffs. Brian Dable's job is not Daniel Jones throwing 25 touchdowns. His job is to get back to the playoffs. I fully believe that. But what I don't... You don't believe in the player. And that's just what is stunning to me. Like, the idea... Brian Dable being like, if this guy doesn't get 18 touchdown passes, I'm screwed. No, like, there's so many more priorities to me when it comes to that team. Again, it's so low, Donnie. I'm not telling you it's going to lose. I don't want to bet under such a low number for touchdown passes for a starting quarterback. But of the low guys, I don't think I'm betting a guy who last year had the actual amount of games you need and didn't get there.
And I hear you on that. I do. But I look at it and saying, like, his rookie year threw 24 touchdown passes. Year number two under Dable, better weapons, more command of the offense, and a ton of money that he's making. And again, if he throws 15 touchdown passes, I don't think they get to the playoffs this year. But I just see from a benchability so low, because last year, like, hey, you know what, I'm going to take a flyer on Baker Mayfield. Well, I should have known better. Any chance that he's going to hit adversity, he's going to be benched. It's the same feeling I have for Tampa Bay this year. They open up 1-3, they have no allegiance to Baker Mayfield. They might even cut him and just go with Kyle Trask. Like, man, I never even got to watch that 15 touchdown passes here. I just look at it from an ability where, if I think the Giants are going to be competitive, yes, I do. If I think he's going to excel year two, and I'm not even, like excelling is not even like 30 touchdown passes.
I agree.
It's 18. You know what I mean? Like, that's the bar is set so low.
18's a terrible
season. I don't like Daniel Jones, but he just, through 3 weeks, he has 4 touchdown passes. Like, woo, there we go. Like, that's as stupid as that sounds, he's ahead of the game.
No, you're 100% correct. But he is not going to be a minus money favorite to throw over 1.5 touchdown passes in week number 1 against the Dallas Cowboys at home.
You know that. I'm just, and I'm not saying that you should have bet him to throw two against Dallas. You don't have to like him to throw two against Dallas. Mm-hmm. But this has, one of the things, what they did last year to make Daniel Jones valuable, more valuable, they unleashed him a little bit more as a runner, and they made sure he stopped turning the ball over. So if they go and unleash Daniel Jones, like, can I get this guy's over interceptions for the season? I mean, seriously. Because that's more so the range that I would want to look on that number there, DRS. Again, like, I'm not telling you that that's a losing bet, and I'm not going to cheer against your bet. But I, if you bet that on Kenny Pickett, this would have been a 4-second conversation. I said, yeah, nice bet. I cannot believe
I think Kenny Pickett is there. But I look at it by saying, I get a guaranteed 17 games no matter what happens. I'll roll the dice. I'm going to roll the dice. They're never going to Tyrod Taylor. Not a single chance, even if he stinks up the joint out loud. He's never getting benched. And that's why I went with Daniel Jones. I just look like I'm going to get an honest look at 18. It's amazing, man. This guy's making $43-44 million. We're looking at one touchdown pass a game. I mean, my God. Which sent me down that tangent again when I said, hold on, let me just get behind the scenes here again with the Giants. Not a single team was going to offer Daniel Jones anything more than like 1 year look see at $5 million. I'm like, you know what? Superstar quarterback, we got to pay him over 40. Man, I still can't get enough out of this. I still can't.
My favorite point is people were like, oh, you guys are being crazy and so harsh. As the contract came out, all anybody would be like, man, Giants can get out of that pretty easy. That was what everyone was excited about, is how easy they can get out of the deal. But, look, I don't know. I was surprised. But what was it? It was a profit boost on a touchdown passing prop, or was it on anything you wanted, the profit boost?
It was. I think I want to say it was on anything I wanted. But now, as I'm going through here, I did the total yardage passing. It must be the touchdown passing market, or total passing market, excuse me. Because when I click on Mahomes, I get the boost up. Like, it's this most regular season total passing yards, plus 250 boosted up to 314. So it looks like it does click, but it's not anything in the quarterback market. Let me just take a look at Jalen Hurts. It doesn't. So it's got to be, I guess, just that one market.
So it's for most passing yards this season is the
Correct.
Market that you can boost
like
in?
It, yes.
What's Matthew Stafford's price?
Matthew Stafford, let's see if you want to throw your money away. It is 30.
Whoa!
Boosted, yeah.
Whoa, what's that about? What's that take? What do you mean? Got those 4,000 yards, supposed to have one of them.
Yeah.
Well, now that's different. And by the way, it's incredibly valid. He's not going to make it. But Donnie, they're supposed to have an awful defense, and all the guy does is gunsling with Sean McVay and Cooper Kupp. 35-1 is a big ticket.
Aaron Rodgers to lead it all, 37.50, so 37.5 to 1 there. It's an interesting market, but I don't like that as much. I like freewheeling out here, people. One more segment to go. Don't you go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Okay, final segment of the day here as we get going. The Dodgers and the Guardians, by the way, in a rain delay in the top of the ninth inning. The Nationals and the Yankees, top of the seventh inning. The Yanks hold a 3-1 lead there. Rockies and the Rays. The Rockies actually have a 3-2 lead here, and that is in the bottom of the sixth inning. And the Red Sox, a 5-0 lead over the Houston Astros. Same game parlays for me today. Just waiting on that Dodgers game to close out. That'll cash one of those. And then also, coming up here a little bit later tonight, Athletics and the White Sox, 8-10 start Eastern. That's the best friends here. It's Geloff and Rooker. We need Geloff to get a base hit and score a run. Rooker to get a base hit and have an RBI. If that cashes, it's over. Just over a 3-1 price here. JP, let the people know where you're going today.
Yeah, let's go Elvis Andrus for 2+ RBIs.
All right, Elvis Andrus, 2+ RBIs. And by the way, Texans are trading for Cardinals offensive tackle Josh Jones, who started for 11 games last year. So the Arizona Cardinals in a complete and utter tank job this year after signing their quarterback to a mega contract. Love that, K-Dub.
Very, very odd set of circumstances.
Shoof.
It's very bizarre, man. It's very... We can't get into it, but just that team gets the first pick. You're telling me that they're going to give up on Kyler. Like, what is the Kyler trade value? I cannot wait to see. The Toronto lineup, though, tonight for me looks like it has a little juice. Question to you, though, quickly. Guardians and Dodgers. Now with this rain delay, what are they going to do? They're going to come out, play the ninth inning, get that done with, and then just start the next game right away?
Pretty much. Yes, that's exactly what they're going to do because it's basically a getaway day, too. It's not like they're going to hang around. They want these games over as soon as possible. That's a quick turnaround right off the bat. Just waiting for that one to cash in. But that'll pretty much do it for the show here. A couple NFL games tonight to watch. Major League Baseball card. Football Friday coming up next. And also, how about this? Just saw hashtag SG Moneyline. Our guy Extra Money. Four-leg parlay, 13-1. Brianna Stewart over 22.5 points. Cubs run line. Aja Wilson, 22.5 total points over. And also, the Astros run line, -104. $144 on a $10 wager. Let's see if we can cash it in. But that'll do it for us today. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside, Ed Kevin Walsh, this was Moneyline. Best part about it, we will be back tomorrow. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.